Welcome back to An Acquired Taste. Today, I want to talk to you about why you don't want to take angel investment, or maybe you do. So let's start with what is an angel investor? Typically, an angel investor is a high net worth individual that wants to place an investment in a startup. Maybe they want to do it in other kinds of private equity, but for today, let's just talk about startups. First, let's talk about how angel investing has changed over the years. First generation angel investors really place their investments into founders, and those founders were working in markets that they were already really familiar with, or technology that they were already very familiar with. They were probably successful in those same markets or around those same technologies. So they're taking, you know, their winnings off the table from their exits or their own business success, and they're investing basically in the founder, into markets, into technologies they already understand. Very little expectation around returns for those investors, mostly seen as this is a way to support my startup community, the next group of founders, the next generation of builders, however you want to think about that, but minimal expectations for returns. Fast forward to what I call second generation angel investors. And basically that definition has changed. It's more about check size, so small checks, and participating entities in that are usually individuals. So the people who are actually investing in those startups are usually individuals. But now angel investing can come from family offices. It can even come from institutional funds that are calling themselves angel funds. There's more expectations around returns. So it's a little less about giving back to the community or investing in the future of the next founders or the next builders. And it really is around kind of traditional investment motivations. I put a little bit of money in now. Several years from now, I get a bunch of money back. So I think that's important to understand how that has changed over time. Also, two types of angels as far as the second generation or current generation of angels. The first, again, successful in the same sector they're investing back into. They already understand the market or the tech. They usually have a huge network. They have tons of strategic value for a first-time founder. And they're looking at the founders saying, I think this person or these people can be successful in what they're trying to do, and I'm going to put some money in. The second are kind of high net worth individuals that occasionally invest into private markets, may have a preference around a certain market or a certain technology, but they probably know the founder personally, or maybe they know the founder's family personally, or there's, you know, 2 or 3 degrees of separation. So two kinds of, you know, basic lumps of angel investors. That's not everybody. That's not all encompassing. But I think you can bucket them kind of in those two main buckets. So let's talk about the pros of taking money from an angel investor, regardless of their type, regardless first gen, second gen. They can be easier to connect with, so you can find them faster, more likely to get a meeting, more likely to get meaningful dialogue. They can be a strategic investor, and they can serve as an incredibly important and additive advisor for founders that are just getting started in this space. And the network effect of attracting more angels once you have the first angel investor. I mean, these folks tend to have friends or colleagues that also invest, and that network effect of them talking about placing an investment in your company may attract interest from other like-minded individuals or angels. That's always a positive. That happens with institutional money as well, but it is a strategic benefit of angels. Cons would include the carrying cost of any investor is a fixed cost, regardless of check size. I'm gonna take that in pieces. All investors will have some level either of expectation or legal right to information. And that information can span from they want to sit on your board, which is pretty extreme, to they expect you to update them regularly. Maybe that's quarterly. Maybe it's even monthly. But they have certain information rights. There's also certain legal documents. There's certain legal or tax implications. All of that stuff has to be serviced. So you have to think about it. Once you've taken somebody's money as an investor, you now have to service that investment. Usually angel investment is in the form of debt, not equity. But regardless, you have a certain amount of obligation in information and in documentation and in compliance for those investors. So if you think about it, there's a base level of expense per investor that you'll have every single year. So let's say, conservatively, that's around $500. So it doesn't matter if an investor gave you $500,000 or they gave you $5,000. You're going to have at least a fixed cost around $500. Now, extrapolate that over 7 to 10 years of $500 every single year, right? So if somebody gave you $5,000 in capital and you have a minimum carrying cost of that investment for information rights, for compliance, for legal reasons, whatever the case may be, and I'm not even getting into opportunity costs, that's a whole other conversation, but just the baseline fixed amount is the same regardless of check size. Somebody gives you $5,000, $500 a year, 7 years later, it's cost you $3,500 to take the $5,000. You have to do that math in your head. You have to think about that. So does that mean you shouldn't take that $5,000 check? I don't know. Go back to the first point. Are they strategic or are they just financial? That helps you make that decision. If they're just financial, you see you're upside down on that math pretty fast. If they're strategic, cost of doing business. It's not just the capital that you got access to when they decided to invest. There are varying degrees of expectations around engagement. So some angels are going to want you to talk to them all the time. Every little update, every little thing that changes, sometimes they'll be asking you very often and maybe to a kind of distracting amount, when will I get my money back? The expectations around liquidity, expectations around your partnership, expectations around when they send an email, how long is it going to take for you to get back to them? All of these things are going to vary angel to angel. It's worth a conversation when you consider taking their money. What are your expectations around this? Are you assuming that you're going to give me money in 2024? And by 2026, you'll have liquidity. If that's your expectation, I may want to have a conversation with you about whether or not that's a reasonable expectation or that we're even going to move in a direction that would make that possible. The investment terms for angels sometimes can be onerous. Not always, and I don't want to paint them in a corner because a lot of times angel investors, especially angel investors that do a lot of that type of investing, that stage of investing, will have a templated term sheet, a templated approach to how they want to structure that deal. So it may be very straightforward. They may just take a safe note off of Y Combinator and reuse that, right? Very standardized form, very common at that stage of investment now. But sometimes they can be onerous. They could have things in there about dividends, which is an amount of money that you're going to pay out every single year based on either your profitability or based on a timeline. So regardless of if your profitability or not, you owe a certain amount of dividend. Interest rates might be higher than market rates. If it's a debt instrument, like a convertible note, there could be warrants in there. Warrants are a fancy way of saying a future right to something, and that something is then defined. Warrants can be relatively harmless. Warrants can be really onerous. And why that's important, not just from the standpoint of kind of the fairness of the deal or how founder friendly or unfriendly that deal is, also comes to your next round. If you have a bunch of rights that have been assigned to an angel investor at a low dollar amount, when you go to raise money the next time, the investors are going to see, the new investors are going to see those terms. And those new investors may do one of two things. They may go, no, I can't have somebody on the cap table with my much larger check and influence be sitting there with these terms, or they may say, we want the same terms. So now you have unfavorable terms with significantly more money on the table, significantly more dilution of your common equity or potential future dilution of your common equity, now rolling up into much larger checks. And the last thing is, sometimes there can be strings attached to an angel investment. And I have seen them run the gamut of what I mentioned before, which is they want a board seat for a few or even several thousand dollars, but let's say it's much less than even $50,000, to I will invest in you only if you commit to leasing space in, for your office in a building I already own. I've actually seen that as a term of investment. So understand that those things can work their ways into terms around private placement, around angel investing that you don't normally see in institutional investing. Doesn't always happen, but you see it a lot more often in those kinds of deals from that investment class than you see it in other places. So let's wrap it up. Should you take angel investment? Are they strategic? Are those angel investors strategic? Are they going to be worth more than just the check they're writing, just the financial support? If the answer is yes, it's probably a yes. You probably are going to get a lot out of it. But again, let's go back to setting expectations on both sides of the equation. What are they expecting from you, and what can you expect from them? If you're taking this early check and you believe them to be strategic, make sure that they're signing up to be strategic. Don't just assume that they're going to return your phone calls. Don't assume that they're going to open their network. Ask that on the front end. Understand if that's part of their thinking as well. If they are strategic, if they are willing to do it, the money and the amount of money doesn't matter nearly as much. What expectations do they have of you? This, I can't overstate this. I've now said this three times, and there's a reason I've said it three times. Expectations vary wildly between angel investors. And those expectations will have a direct correlation to the relative value of the check they're writing you. If their expectations are that you're going to talk to them every single week for an hour, and they want to write you a $5,000 check, that's probably too high an opportunity cost for you to seriously consider. And then lastly, is there enough value in their participation? Because one of the things that happens is when you take money is you create what's called a cap table or a capitalization table. It's a fancy way of saying it's a list of all of your investors and effectively what they're owed, what their debt looks like, how that converts, et cetera, et cetera. Angel investors will be on that cap table for 7 to 10 years. They're going to be in partnership with you in one way, shape, or form, legally, spiritually, philosophically, for 7 to 10 years. So look at that and go, is what they are offering meaningful enough value for me to take an amount of money that, frankly speaking, in most cases, will be gone in the first 2 quarters, certainly in the first year. And you still have them on your cap table, and they'll be on your cap table for as long as basically they want to be and don't have an option to get off, or as long as they'll have to be to reach liquidity. Understand that before you get into it. So should you take angel investing, angel investors? Should you not? I think you need to consider these things and then make the decision that's best for you and best for what you're building. All right, look forward to your comments. Tell me where I got it wrong. See you next time.